Franklin Jackson Podcast.
What's good with y'all on this beautiful Monday? Man, I was excited for this conversation right when these two individuals promoted it on their Instagram and on their YouTube shows. Like, this is not an ad or whatever, but these are the two individuals that I listen to the most when I want to hear some podcast content. Now, when I go to Joe Budden, I want to hear hip hop and culture. When I go to Candace Owens, I want to hear about society and politics. And I love both of their perspectives. They give it in a way that I can appreciate. They give it to you harsh and real. And you may agree, you may disagree. Like, I think disagreement is healthy at the end of the day, because you can disagree about some things, but you don't have to run away from the conversation. You don't have to feel away about the conversation. And there is a lot of individuals who don't like Candace Owens, but they never go check out her content. They never go further than what they hear, like, from the media that's trying to show her in the light of whatever they're promoting at the moment. And they started this conversation off with something that I think people take into consideration when they think about Candace Owens that they don't like. And she cleared it up, and I'm going to give y'all my point of view about what she said.
Candace said racism does not exist. Can't remember which publication did this. I gave a speech at CPAC. I was talking about the history of slavery, how there's currently slaves in Uganda. Took a couple of stabs at Colin Kaepernick, whatever is the right way to say that. I don't watch sports.
But when you say Kaper, it comes off a way.
What? I don't know. I don't last names, really?
Well, for the move that he made and what it stood for.
Okay,
For black people, you don't give a fuck.
Later. I'm not a fan of Colin. You say Kaper?
Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick.
Why are you not a fan of him?
Well, you should watch my CPAC speech in its entirety. But I gave the speech and was pointing to some things. And I said totally separately in the speech, you know, I have never been a slave, because that's a fact. They chopped up what I said, I've never been a slave, put a sentence that I've never said. They said, Candace says racism doesn't exist because, and then in quotation marks, they wrote, I've never been a slave. The only thing I ever said was, I've never been a slave. The racism doesn't exist never came out of my mouth anywhere ever. And it was this number one that people, she says racism doesn't exist. I'm like, that is the opposite of what I believe in, actually. Okay. I actually, what I say to people is, it is an absurdity to have people set you out on a mission to believe that you are ever going to conquer racism. It's always going to be here because humans are humans, right?
Okay.
There's always going to be black people that hate white people that hate black people, Jewish people that hate black people that hate Jews. It's never going away, right? And so I always say the question you should ask yourself is it preventing you from getting from point A to point B? So that drove me crazy because it was just a journalist lying and people accept it. And I've recognized that whoever wins the headline wins the game.
That's a fact. Whoever wins the headline, because people don't go further than the headline. People look at the headline and they never go deep. Like, they never research why this is the headline. Now, she could have rubbed some people the wrong way by how she was talking about Kaepernick and, like, not caring about how she was saying it or presenting it. But we got to go deeper than the headline of Colin Kaepernick. The headline was that he took a knee because of police brutality. But then if we go deeper, no disrespect to Kaepernick, he played for my team or whatever, and I saluted what he did for taking a knee for police brutality at that time. But I was disappointed in Colin Kaepernick because he didn't do nothing further. He didn't talk nothing further. He didn't give us his perspective nothing further after that. And then he attempted to get back in the NFL. I wish he would have went further. Like, once you make a stand like that, you got to be prepared to talk to why. What we need to do next, because the black community needs to unite. It needs to unite. It doesn't need a person to do the action and then don't take it further. That's just my opinion. And that's other black folks' opinion also. But let's get into the point of discussion when she said racism doesn't exist. Nobody alive this time has dealt with racism in the totality that people dealt with it in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and all of that, and previously to that. And another thing that we don't research, or some people understand, some people know, I always talk about my experience when I went to the African American Cultural Museum in DC, and I found out that people had to be converted to Christianity when they got on the boat. But another thing that I realized, that Africans wasn't the only people enslaved. It was slavery all around the world. Now, some people be like, I don't care about that. I only care about what happened to my people and what was done to my people. At the end of the day, you can't be like that, man. We got to move further. We can't let people tell us that that is all we are, because they'll remove our history and we won't look further back, because we was kings, queens, pharaohs. We was gods. We was the people who built the pyramids. Why you think they chopped the noses off? Because they don't want you to know who you are. Now, racism is a thing that's never going to change in this country. And the definition in the dictionary about racism has also changed a lot. But we got to continue to be knowledgeable, continue to seek knowledge, continue to understand and learn our history, because history will show you where you're going on your route today, my opinion. Now, I'm going to get into another thing that she spoke about on the podcast. I'm going to try to make this quick, my reaction to it, because I want y'all to go check it out. If y'all feel like paying $5 to go see the Patreon episode on Joe Budden's platform, go check it out. I think it's worth your $5, man. It may be more worth your $5 than if you go pay $20 to watch something on Amazon Prime or Netflix, or go to the movies and watch some foolish entertainment, because she's putting on a clinic, and I think she swayed some people's perspective about her from the negative to the positive.
I would allow my son to say wild stuff or to say things that aren't true. And I do want to say this to men especially. It is the ultimate sign of weakness in society when men start lying. Okay? Like, don't lie. If you're a man, I'd rather you say nothing than lie. Okay? Because it weakens you as a man. And when men start lying, we are getting really close to the end of a functioning society. We need strong men, and strong men don't lie, right? So if you feel like you don't want to offend someone, you know, you're looking at a grown ass man wearing a skirt and he's like, I'm a woman, then don't say nothing. Don't say anything, but don't lie and tell him he's a woman. We need men to like be the wall.
What do you do when an issue like that hits your doorstep?
What do you mean?
Or hits home?
It isn't going to hit home. What do you mean?
How can you say that?
My kids are not going to be trans.
How can you say that?
Because it's brainwash is what's happening. How many trans kids did you graduate with in high school?
I didn't graduate high school.
Okay, how many trans kids were there in your middle school?
None.
Okay, yeah, none to my knowledge. Zero for me, zero in high school, zero in college. Over the last 4 years.
But I did meet trans kids as a teenager.
Okay, did you? Mm-hmm. How many though?
Six.
Okay, now go check the statistics of how many kids identify as other. What we're looking at is a system of brainwash, okay? That we're indoctrination camps. They're being indoctrinated in the classroom, which I cover on my show extensively, what they're learning during Pride Month, which is just indoctrination month, how they're teaching kids who kids want positive feedback. They're young. Their brains are not developed. So they know they can get attention, that their teacher's going to reward them if they say, actually, I woke up today and I felt like a non-binary fish. Yay. So...
You know, man, I might face some controversy for what I'm about to say, though, but I really don't care. I really don't care to have people on my platform. I really don't care about people. Whatever your perspective is about me is what it is. But the truth will be told, because like she said, men that lie are weak. But lying to me is bad, because like we normalize things that's not real. You know, they tell you to speak affirmations over your life, positive affirmations, so you can make those positive things a reality. If you consistently say some things that's a lie, you can make it the truth. You can make it the truth. If you keep telling yourself that you're poor, you will be poor. If you keep telling yourself, man, I'm addicted to this, I can't leave it alone, you will be that. And that's what they done with transgenderism. Like, I never met no transgender people still to this day, really. I see them, but I never meet them. Like, I haven't seen many of them neither, though. But when I grew up in my neighborhood, I only knew one person that was a homosexual. And he used to try to hide it because he felt like he wasn't normal or whatever. But it's normalized now. And it's nothing wrong with it. To be honest with you, it's nothing wrong with the act. That's what you do. But at the end of the day, the promotion of it. Why we don't promote regular sex? Like, creating a family, creating kids and all of that old type of stuff. Marriage. It's not promoted because that's not the agenda that the government or the media has right now. You see, when Biden in the State of the Union, he said, "Transgenders, I got your back." That's what he just said. And I really don't understand it. But I'm going to tell y'all an experience that I had with a woman that is, I don't even know the terms. I don't want to speak out, but she's a stud. That's what she is, right? And she always talk about black and being black and being natural and black power and black this and black that. And I asked her a question. I said, "How can you love being black, but you're not willing to reproduce?" And she paused for a minute. She didn't respond to me. She said it. When she did respond, she said, "I never thought of it like that." I said, "You're not willing to reproduce. How can you love your race? Because there's so many of y'all now that the reproduction rate is going to go down. It's not going to be many of us. The reproduction rate is not high no more because so many girls are." And it's being promoted in the black community also more than any other community, my perspective. You go to Atlanta, you come to Charlotte and D.C. and all of that, you see a lot of people that's homosexuals, and nothing is wrong with that. Again, that's your choice. But at the end of the day, you made that decision and it's being promoted to you, and you fell for it at the end of the day. Now, the transgender people, what's crazy about that is that it's people that try to have body parts removed, and then 10 to 15 years later, they realize that that's not what they want. That's crazy. That's crazy to me. Now, I'm going to play another clip. Before I get into the last clip, I ain't going to take too much of y'all time. I'm just reviewing the episode. She talked about, how is Black America doing under Joe Biden?
Well, we get into you, right? My intro to you was Kanye West, TMZ, when you were running around with him. Mm-hmm. And that came at a time when Kanye was pretty problematic in just some of the things that he was saying, some of the things that he was doing. He didn't look like himself at the time, and now we have this black woman that seems to be parading him around, almost like puppeteering him is what it felt like. So it's like, okay, Kanye's on some bullshit now, and now we've got this young lady who I don't know anything about, and they're all on some Trump shit. I'm just gonna Yeah. So that was a lot of people's intro mm-hmm. to you, I'm assuming.
Yeah. And so that is interesting that you say that, because I think what happened is that people transferred. The media was crazy about Trump. I mean, like, you were not allowed to like Trump as a black person. Forget it. Day in and day out, racism, slavery, coming back. You know what the narrative was. And so I'll just ask now, since Trump's not in office, how's Black America doing? Right? How are you doing at the gas pump? How are you doing at the grocery store? Big bad Trump, how are you doing under Trump? Right? So there might have been something that I was saying to Black America, looking at the economic policies, what he was pitching, looking at it relative to the stuff that Obama was doing, that may have made sense. But the media, again, did not allow you to hear it. Right? So it just became, you're a coon, you're an Uncle Tom, if you're supporting Trump, we're not going to tell you what she's actually saying. We're just going to show you that she's wearing a MAGA hat. Right? So I understand the entry. People were so shocked when Kanye put on the MAGA hat. But the idea that I got him to do that, to me, just means you just don't know Ye at all. Like, obviously, Ye reached out to me. What, he kind of just phoned him up and was like, hey, like, I'm wearing a MAGA hat. Like, you know, it would be cool if we, like, were together. Who do you think reached out to who in that circumstance, right? Kanye found me before he put on the MAGA hat. I met him before he put on the MAGA hat. I had already been talking to him for some time. He was watching my videos and actually listening to what I said. People are, in many ways, people are discounting Kanye by saying that. You think he just like saw a red hat and saw a black person and was like, hey, let's get together? No, he had been watching my content. He had been hearing what I was saying about a ton of topics, you know, a lot of things I talk about. I think the thing I talk about the most is probably feminism, which is why it's wild to me that people have cornered me as just a Trump supporter. I supported Trump because, like I said, I understood his economic policies. I understood what was happening in Black America. And I thought that was the pathway for, you know, more freedom.
She says she understood his economic policies. You know, under Trump, times was a lot better, a lot different. When I went to the grocery store, I didn't spend $75 to $100 on 2 to 3 bags. The gas has went down as of recently, but it's going back up at the end of the day. And my finances was doing a lot better. My taxes was a lot better. Everything was a lot better under Trump. My perspective. Now, people could say that Trump is the reason why the economy the way it is because the amount of money he spent. But he was dealing with COVID during that time, and he was just trying to keep us afloat. Now, I understand what she was saying. How is Black America doing under Biden? You got to think about it. The main thing that catch my attention about Biden is that the migrants, they are coming over here in a massive way, and they are getting funded. They are getting money and all types of things that Black America is not getting. They are replacing us in the metropolitan cities like Chicago and New York City. Now, it comes to a point to where we have to unite if we want to evolve. And if we don't unite, we will never evolve and we will die. That has something to do with the gang culture that creates separatism. That has something to do with the LGBTQ culture, the transgender culture. Everything is against Black people to create us to separate, to not unite. We're stronger when we're together. But a lot of people don't want us to be together. Now, and I remember one time in the Webster Dictionary, a racist. The definition of it used to be one concerned with their own race. That's what the definition used to be, but the definition has changed. I don't have the time to read it, and I suggest y'all go read it right now what the definition is. But if you follow definitions, things change. But I agree with Candace Owens that times was different under Trump, and the economy was a lot different under Trump. Now, y'all know me, I'm a person that loves hip hop, and she spoke about something on hip hop that I think everybody that loves music and purchases music need to hear, because we wonder where a lot of these people come from that pop up out of nowhere. And it's somebody that is better than them that's not getting the shine, that's creating high quality music, great music. But the foolishness get highlighted all the time, and we'll wonder why and where this person come from. And this is what she had to say about that.
Losing me lately.
Lately. Mm-hmm. So I did a segment on my show to show people how this stuff works. Sexy Red picked up. Now her music is, you know, everywhere. Mm-hmm. You're seeing them talking about her. Does that feel artificial to you at all? So I was interested. I was like, who signed her? Because if you're a person and you're walking around and you can sign anybody and you got the money to sign them, you're gonna tell me that's what stood out? Or is that intentional?
It's intentional, of course.
Of course it's intentional.
Of course it is.
And that's what I'm trying to make Black America aware of, right? That is intentional. Somebody's making that decision. That means somebody turned down a Chris Brown, okay? Turned down a Michael Jackson, turned down a Lauryn Hill, and said, that's the one I wanna sign and make her bigger. And when I looked into it, who did that, boy, was I shocked to learn that it was a combo team. But one of the men was a Black man who certainly doesn't listen to Sexy Red. He's married to Stephanie Shepard, who's Kim Kardashian's former assistant. And
I think he listens to it.
Oh, no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. I played him talking to Oprah and all, you know, and talking about his childhood and how he grew up in a two-family, two-parent household and, you know, everything's chummy. And I'm just like, and you're the guy that's like making the decision to sign her. Okay. Apple tech exec, and you decide to artificially make this happen. Okay. I'm interested in who owns companies. That's the first thing I always want to look up. Who owns it? Because the rappers aren't making the decisions. They're like, oh, yay, I'm getting signed. Amazing. Who makes the decision to put Cardi B on the Grammy stage to perform WAP?
Oh, love Cardi B.
Great, fine. I think she's, by the way, this never gets any play, so I'll say it again. When I first was introduced to Cardi B, my cousin that you just met, I was sick at home, and she made me watch Love & Hip Hop. The show is hilarious, okay? The show is hilarious. Cardi B was a star. She just was, okay? She had the it factor. You can't describe what it is, but you know it when you see it. Mm-hmm. She was very funny. She was self-deprecating. I have said these things about Cardi. You will never find this anywhere printed.
And I didn't.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Anywhere printed, because they don't care, right? It's all about making people think. I need Cardi B to evolve now.
I need Cardi B to evolve. Wow. That is crazy. She does need to evolve right now. Like, think about that, though. She said that. Even Joe said that it's intentional. He knows that it's intentional, the people that they put in position. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something about Joe, my perspective about Joe. He was a hell of a rapper. Hell of a rapper. But he wasn't going to self-deprecate himself. He wasn't going to do nothing crazy, go on a stage naked or talk about some crazy stuff or do some gay type acts or whatever, something to self-deprecate itself. Like, you gotta do something to be in those positions. You gotta do something that you normally wouldn't do, that's like lowering you as a person to get put in those positions. And Joe even knew that it was intentional to put Sexy Red in position. Even Cardi B got put in position, even though she was a star on Love & Hip Hop and all of that. But think about the song WAP. Like, why was that such a big song? It had no reason being as big, performed on the Grammy stage, talking about WAP. Y'all know what it abbreviates. Think about what it's abbreviating. I remember a time when I was growing up, they wouldn't even kiss on TV. They wasn't showing sexual stuff on TV. Why are they showing sexual stuff on TV now? Because they want to promote it that it's okay. Being this is okay. Kissing and men, they showing men kissing on TV now. Women and women kissing, and children can see it. It's just crazy. Who owns these companies and makes the decisions, though? Because the artist that talented, listen to this now. If you're a young artist in the game and you talented, your talent ain't going to get you there. You're going to have to do something out of character to get there. That's crazy. I wish I would have known that when I was young. I love creating music. I love being able to get my message out and my feelings out and the things that I've experienced on the pen and pad and put it on the microphone and rap about it or do something melodic with it. I love it. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to get out of character to be famous or get attention. Hey, man, y'all go check out that Patreon episode, man. It's worth it. This just my review of it. I give it a 10 out of 10. I think it was dope, man. The face of black conservatism. Peace, love, plenty of abundance. Make sure you go get you some money and I'm gone. Chill.
The Trevor Jackson Podcast.